This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, December 19, 2021. The Fourth Sunday of Advent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?
May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost.
The Gospel reading of the day. Very familiar. The Visitation. Here at Christmas, here on Feast of the Blessed Virgin, here on Saturdays for the Blessed Virgin, there is even a day in which we specifically remember the Visitation. I think it'd be hard-pressed to ask the question as to the whys. Why did our Blessed Mother visit St. Elizabeth? What was the specific reason that she visited St. Elizabeth? Now, most people, they hear the Visitation, well, the Blessed Mother was showing how much she cares and her ministry to people. That's what we learn as a result of the Visitation. There is a specific reason as to why the Blessed Virgin Mary visited St. Elizabeth. That's the teaser. We'll learn that at the end. What was the specific reason? Because before we understand the specific reason, we have to understand the specificity of who the one is that is visiting, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we don't understand the whys unless we understand conceptually and from Scripture who this was that visits, what was her importance, how does God work through her. Most people around here have a very profound veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is unfortunate that that is not always common, even Catholic places, but much less places that are not Catholic. To venerate the Blessed Virgin Mary, we need to understand the foundation. We don't know a whole lot about the Blessed Virgin. We don't know anything from the New Testament, just a little bit here, a little bit. That's because we don't need to learn anything because it's all laid out in the Old Testament of what we're supposed to understand about the Blessed Virgin Mary. When we look at this particular issue, we could look at her under the title of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is the Ark of the New Covenant. The Ark of the New Covenant. Sounds very churchy. Why do we refer to the Blessed Mother as the Ark of the New Covenant? Let's look at what the Ark of the Covenant was in the Old Testament. It was, and I don't want to degrade this by saying this, and I'll refer to it in a couple times. It was a wooden box. It was a very opulent wooden box. It was a wooden box that was covered with gold and lined with furs and all this other kind of great stuff. Because why? Because that Ark of the Covenant, that wooden box, contained symbols. Symbols of God Almighty Himself. It contained the tables of the law. It contained a golden bowl of manna. And it contained the budded staff of Aaron. That's what was contained in the Ark in the Old Testament. The symbolism there, as we look at these Old Testament, the symbolism, just symbols, shadows, types of what was going to come fulfillment in our Lord Jesus Christ, just that evoked profound worship of the people of God for this wooden box because of just what it symbolized. The Blessed Virgin Mary is, we understand her to be the Ark of the New Covenant because she contained in her womb the one who fulfilled all of these symbols. She contained the one who came and said, I have not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He said, I am the true bread which comes down from heaven. The manna that your fathers ate in the desert, they ate and they are dead. He is the high priest, the eternal high priest, that was represented by the budded staff of Aaron. This is why we refer to the Blessed Mother as the Ark of the New Covenant. She contained everything in fulfillment that it did. When the angel Gabriel came to the Blessed Virgin, and we started to see these parallels between her and the Ark of the Covenant. First one, whom she contained. Second one, she receives the Annunciation, and she is perplexed. How can this be? I know not a man. And the Archangel Gabriel said, the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, and that which is conceived in your womb will be called holy, the Son of God. In Exodus chapter 40, when they put the wooden box in its final place, what is referred to as the Shekinah glory of God. The words of the scripture in Exodus 40 say, the cloud covered the tabernacle of the testimony, and the glory of the Lord filled it. Almost the same wording between what went on in a shadowy type in the Old Testament and what happened to fulfillment with the Blessed Virgin Mary when the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. These are not the only places where we see this profound parallels between the Blessed Virgin and what is described for us in the Old Testament. 2 Kings, for those of you who read the RSVs, that's 2 Samuel chapter 6. We have a story about King David and the Ark of the Covenant, this wooden box. King David is going to move the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And it says that David arose and went to retrieve the Ark. The visitation, it starts out with Mary rising. She went to the house of Zechariah with Elizabeth. As things pan out, as David is taking the Ark to Jerusalem, and this is where specificity really rears its ugly head when it comes to what God says and what he expects in relation to what he says. The Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be carried in a very certain way by very certain people. Well, David, in his haste, puts it on the back of an ox cart. That's probably more efficient. He puts it on the back of an ox cart as they're going toward Jerusalem. It's the rough part of the road, and it looks like the ark might even fall off. And this very well-meaning man, Uzzah by name, very well-meaning, he doesn't want to see the ark fall off of his ox cart, it's dirt on the ground, and he reaches out his hand, he touches the ark to steady it. Now, in our day and age, we think, well, I'm sure God really appreciated that, Uzzah's help. You know what God does to Uzzah for touching the ark? He kills him. He kills him. David is terrified as to what happened. Why would God do that? Because he specifically said how it was supposed to be carried, which it was not. This is what caused the incident. And he said only certain people are allowed to touch it, and Uzzah was not among them. This is how serious God is when he specifically says things. David's reaction, again, he's terrified. He's so terrified that he just, we need to leave this thing here. I don't know what to do about this. And his words are, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? What are the words of St. Elizabeth when the Blessed Virgin Mary, the ark of the new covenant, comes in her? Almost the same exact words. Whence is it to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? David finally gets his head right and understands how serious this is now. And when we understand, even after a hard lesson, how powerful God is, what he expects of us, our reaction, that initial terror, is well-founded. But once we get our heads right, as David did, he goes ahead and he starts again. Kind of interesting, though. He leaves the ark at the home of one Obed-Edom. And the whole time that the ark is there, Obed-Edom's, to use a term in our vernacular, he got his socks blessed off. His crops were, I mean, the blessings that were overflowing on this man were, that were so obvious. It was the talk of the town, so to speak. Everybody knew about it. They're even telling the king, Obed-Edom, where you left the ark, you wouldn't believe how the Lord is blessing him. David sees that the ark is a blessing when it is treated properly. And he goes and gets the ark. And because of this, it says, David walked before the ark, leaping and dancing before the Lord. What happens to St. John the Baptist when the Blessed Virgin Mary comes into the house of St. Elizabeth? It's emphasized twice in that visitation gospel. The babe leaped in her womb. It's got to be something supernatural because the Bible is telling it twice. And she even exclaimed, the babe leaped in my womb. If you've ever been around a pregnant lady, ladies who had children, babies moving around in your womb is not something that's supernatural. It's actually a nifty little thing. But, oh, the baby's moving, you know, that we look for. This is something different. This is something different. She exclaimed, the babe leaped in my womb. That had to be a jolt for her to experience that. So we see the same wording. David leaping before the ark of the old covenant, and when the ark of the new covenant comes in, St. John the Baptist leaping for joy in his mother's womb. And finally, these parallels, as we see in the Old Testament. I mentioned before about the blessings at the house of Obed-Edom. It specifically says in the scripture that the ark was at the house of Obed-Edom and blessed him for 3 months. We read the gospel passage. We read that our Blessed Mother stayed at the house of Elizabeth. Not until St. John was born, not for a while, specifically says that she waited there for 3 months. I actually read a commentary. Well, these parallels are just subtle. Yeah, mister, if you don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, I mean, the same words are used. The same words are used in these parallels. This is where we see the foundation of our understanding and the profound veneration we have for the Blessed Virgin Mary is grounded not in the New Testament, where we hear very little about her, but in the types that pointed forward to her. This is why the Blessed Virgin Mary, under the title of the Ark of the New Covenant, is probably the most powerful that we have when we have the different titles of our Blessed Mother. Because what is the Ark? Both old and new. It's the place where God is. It's the presence of the Lord. If you're in the presence of the Lord, you have to be where the ark is. Now, a lot of people, well, why would God set it up like that? You ask him when you get there. That's the way he's got it set up. You know, why was he born in a smelly, stinky manger? Why did he just appear in a cloud of glory and get everybody's attention right off the bat? He does things in his own way, in his own plan. And one of the ways that he is with us is he knows we're spatial. He knows we're creatures. There's got to be a place, a special place where God is. That's our nature. He understands that. So he condescends to that. In the Old Testament, in a shadowy form, his presence was there, shadowy, but in a very real sense. Ask Uzzah. But in the New Testament, how much more profoundly? The presence of God in the Old Testament evoked such veneration and worship. How much more should the incarnate presence of God? And when we look at the incarnation, we have to understand the incarnation came about as a result of the fiat of the Ark of the New Covenant. Be it done to me according to thy word. At that moment, our Lord was incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, this place where God is present with us is the ark. And it's kind of interesting to look at it when, as this could, well, she's not, whether she was assumed body and soul into heaven, so she's not with us anymore. Yes, she is. Yes, she is in the Eucharist. That's Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity. Yes, it is. This is my body. This is my blood. Where did he get his body? Where did he get his blood? He could not say that without the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Ark of the New Covenant. So we are still recipients of God's presence through her fiat. She gave him a body that would be broken for us. She gave him the blood that would be shed for us. This is, when you start looking at these things, this should move you closer and closer and deeper into the veneration of this one who is the Ark of the New Covenant. Where the Ark is, that's where God is. And God speaks through that Ark. In the Old Testament, when Moses went to discuss things with God, and he did it, the scripture tells us Moses talked to God like you do a friend. Where did he go when he did this? Holy Spirit just appeared to him in his tent or wherever he was hanging out in the desert. And no, he had to go to where the ark was. And when he went to the ark, he talked to God. And when he came out, his face shone like the sun. It was so scary to the people that he had to veil his face. This is what the ark is. It's through what God talks to us in the case of the box. But now it is through whom God talks to us. This answers the question. I said it was a teaser. What is the specific reason for the visitation? There was a specific reason. It was to cleanse St. John the Baptist from original sin. That is why the Blessed Virgin Mary was sent by the Holy Spirit to her. Yes, her ministry as a consequence, we get that. But at the end of the day, there was a reason that she went there, and it was to cleanse John the Baptist from original sin. That was why he leapt in the womb the way he did. She entered in the house, he leaps in the womb, he is cleansed from original sin. This is why the church only celebrates three natural birthdays. Every other saint that we have, we celebrate those on the days that they died. There are only three personages that we celebrate their natural birthday. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Blessed Virgin Mary, and St. John the Baptist. Why? Because they're the only three creatures that have ever been born into this earth without original sin. Our Lord, because he's God. The Blessed Virgin Mary, because she was kept from original sin at the time of her conception. And St. John the Baptist, because he was cleansed from original sin in the womb. This is what we should appreciate, the specificities of what's going on here. She not only cleansed him with sin, she filled him with the Holy Spirit, as she did St. Elizabeth. That's why St. Elizabeth, Scripture specifically says, and Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, she begins to prophesy about this mother of our Lord, this Ark of the New Covenant. So when we see this, we see that God continues to speak through the Blessed Virgin Mary. He continues to speak. That's the way he has things set up. Can we go to God in prayer? Why don't? Yes, we can. But I'll tell you first and foremost that when you take this into consideration, I would highly suggest the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary to make sure that everything is as efficacious as it possibly could be. Because why? Because this is the way God has set it up. This is not just a Catholic thing. We read it from the Old Testament. This is how God speaks to his people. This is how he is present with us in the Lord, through his ark. We understand this, the specific reason for the visitation. We also now kind of get a grasp a little bit more on the reason for our veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary. As I said before, God continues to speak to us through the Blessed Virgin. The flesh that she gave our Lord is the Eucharist that we receive, body, blood, soul, divinity. But I mean, even when you look at that, our Blessed Mother uttered one direction for us. And it's so easy to remember. It's at the wedding of Cana. What? She still speaks to us. What was that direction? Do what he tells you. If the Blessed Virgin Mary is through whom God speaks to us, and her simple instruction is do what he tells you, I think we better start listening. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.